1 Timothy chapter number 5, and we'll read down through part of the chapter here, starting at verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. These things give in charge that they may be blameless. And if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Heavenly Father, we certainly want to rightly divide the word of God, and what a help this is to us. Lord, I was studying this and thinking, boy, there's some reset buttons that are all through this scripture that would just help our culture, give us an understanding on some things, Lord, and if we could get back to the Bible. And so, Lord, there's a lot of things to learn. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd guide my mind. Help me, dear Lord, stay focused on the scriptures. And Lord, according to your will, please, Lord, I pray that you'd teach us some things. May everybody leave with a sense that they've been in the presence of the Lord and been helped by the Bible principles presented. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We covered the first several verses, and I think that it's just good teaching as far as understanding the relationship that we're supposed to have to the different age groups in the church. It was good teaching, and I think a great portion of the Word of God to study. We're going to focus tonight on the subject of widows indeed, and we'll begin by looking at verse number 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. Let me just kind of explain that little verse there. If you take the words honor and then widows and then indeed, we are commanded to honor widows that are widows indeed. And this, of course, is instruction to Timothy as he oversees the church. The word honor, as we mentioned last week, means to fix evaluation upon, evaluate and assess their needs. And so the Bible says to the church, you have a responsibility to your widows, if they are widows indeed, and we'll explain who those are in just a minute. You have a responsibility, church, that you need to assess and put an evaluate and assess the needs of the widows that are widows indeed. Now that word widows indeed, we're going to find out, means widows that are the church's responsibility to care for. And so we'll let the scripture speak to that in just a minute. A widow in this portion of scripture is a woman whose husband has passed, but it also carries with it the idea of a deficiency or a need. So it's not just any widow. It's a widow whose husband has passed but is desolate, is in need, does not have the means to support herself or children or family members that either can or will. And then the word indeed means really, certainly, of a truth, verily. In other words, it's telling the church, make sure. Make sure that these are people that have a legitimate situation, a legitimate need. I want to just say a word to the husbands in general, but especially some of the younger husbands. Most of the time, if we study this, the church is honestly not going to be put in a situation. And by the way, I hate to put it that way. I think it's an honor if the Lord allows us to, and if we have that a widow that's a widow indeed in our congregation, I think it's an honor for us to step forward and take care of them. I don't think it's a burden whatsoever. But I do want to say this. I think that the reason that that doesn't happen many times in the Church of Jesus Christ, as we study a widow indeed, There's a couple of reasons why we are not faced with that responsibility very often. And let me tell you the two reasons why. Number one, children, as we're going to study in a minute, and family members that understand and step up and fulfill their responsibility to take care of them. And that, of course, is the first line, as we're going to talk to you about in just a minute. That's the first line of responsibility is family. But another thing, let me just say this, and I'll give you good practical advice right now. If you're married and you have a wife, I don't care what age you are, you ought to have some life insurance. And, yo, preacher, we can barely pay the bills, let alone afford any type of insurance policy. You talk to an insurance man. I don't give financial advice because that's not my expertise. I don't give legal advice. I'm not a lawyer. I give spiritual advice because I'm a pastor. But I'm going to give you some good practical advice, and that's to sit down with people. You can get a term life insurance policy for very, very little. And one of the things, I mean, when we didn't hardly have anything, when we first started out, Brother Joe came over, I think, and sold us our first term life insurance policy. That's why he's so rich today. He got rich off of that real expensive, what, $23 a week policy I had. But if something would have happened to me, my wife would not have no means of support. And gentlemen, let me just say this. It's not just your responsibility to take care of your wife in life. I think it's your responsibility to take care of your wife in death. And so that's just good practical advice. And wives, I wouldn't let what the preacher say go. I would bug him about that and bug him about that. Because there may be a time you want to kill him. And you want to make sure that, number one, it looks like an accident. And number two, you come out on the good end of that, all right? But I do think that there is, and you know, I think that what we're going to study here doesn't really happen that often. But when it does, the church needs to step up and obey the scriptures. And I also think that family and husbands need to use some wisdom in making sure that these ladies are taken care of. So when it says honor widows that are widows indeed, it's talking about if there's a lady in the church and she qualifies as a widow indeed, which means really, certainly, of a truth, verily. So in other words, check this out because we're going to have it defined for us. And you stay within the Bible qualifications for a widow indeed, and those are the ones that the church are responsible for. I mentioned last week, I think it was last Wednesday, mentioned that when I get a call, sometimes somebody's in wanting help with bills or they don't have food or whatever, and I bring up, because the first line of support ought to be family. So I always question them about that. The second thing I ask them about is concerning their church. And their church affiliation, and where do they go to church at, and who's their pastor? I'd like to talk to your pastor. So to see, first of all, because see, folks, I don't think it's Blessed Hope's responsibility to take care of somebody else's church members. I think it's that church's responsibility. And a lot of times, sadly, what the culture has created is people that have been estranged to their family because of the wicked lifestyle they want to live, and they've taken advantage of their family to the point the family's done being taken advantage of, and they don't have any church affiliation, and then this needs are, listen, you know why they're calling? It's something called the reproofs of life. Okay, study the book of Proverbs. And you know what? If you want to walk the way of the wicked, you want to go in the path of disobedience, then you're going to face the reproofs of life. And most people don't want to get off that path. They just want some financial means, somebody to give them something so they can continue on that path of disobedience. And I'm convinced that there's a lot of prodigals that never go home because they never make it to the pig pen. First of all, you know what? Our government won't hardly let them ever make it to the pig pen. The government's... Wait, did you notice any mention of the government in here having any responsibilities? You know, the care of our elderly people ought to be the responsibility of their family, number one, church, number two. I see no place in the Bible where it's the government's responsibility. And when the government got into a business they weren't supposed to get into, it's created a mess. Now, I'm going to show you in a minute that there's some qualifications for a widow indeed. If there's no government, come on now, that's going to say, hey, you know what? You don't go to church. You live a heathen life. And later on, when you're desolate and old and can't take care of yourself, we'll take care of you. Where is the motivation in the culture for a woman to live a godly life? I mean, if I'm a lady and I'm, you know, living life, and I think, you know what, my husband's probably going to die before me, and I knew these truths, I'd want to live right so that if I did get into a desolate situation, I'd be qualified to be helped by the church. But it's interesting. Now, stay with me here, folks, because sometimes we've got a misunderstanding of the church's responsibility in society. Oh, you're supposed to help anybody in need. That's not what the Bible teaches. Come on now. Come on, some of you bleeding heart liberals, come on now. There's times we're not supposed to help. There's times we're getting in God's way by helping. All right, you know what? There's some situations where there's needs, but you know what? The need isn't for another person to give that person something else so they can continue in the bad habits of their life. And so God uses the reproofs of life to cause people to understand, hey, I've got responsibilities to God, and I've got responsibilities to my family, and you know, fulfill those responsibilities. Now stay with me here, because all we're going to do is just teach the Bible. So if you're nervous right now, get unnervous. And if you say, well, I look at it differently, well, good. You got an opportunity to change the way you look at things and start looking at it from the scriptures and be a Bible-minded Christian. It'll help you, okay? Now, what's the responsibilities? Let's remind ourselves. Verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So the first line of defense, the first line of help that comes when somebody faces a desolate situation is for the family to step in. It's not for the church. Now, let me say that again. Look right up here, okay? One of your family members have a need. The first line of responsibility is not me and Pastor Jerry Ross and Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The first line of help and responsibility is you as a family member. Now get that in your head. Some of you walk around with this idea that, you know, church is supposed to bail everybody out. No, you're supposed to bail your family out. I'm supposed to bail my family out. Okay, I don't just pay our bills right now. Are you listening to me? Right, I'm not preaching about something I don't do. I'm saying if you've got a family that's in need, then that family is supposed to step up and help that family member. And what I found out is this, if a family's done helping somebody, there's usually a reason. And if the church steps in, you know what we're doing? We're really sabotaging what God's trying to do in that person's life. And so I kind of watch that. If they've got a good family and the family's done, then am I really helping them or am I enabling them? Okay, maybe God wants them in the pressure cooker. Maybe the only thing that's going to cause them to change some things in their life is to be put in that situation. And so understand, folks, it's not Pastor Jerry being uncompassionate. It's me being scriptural sometimes. Say, everybody calls in, you give them help? No. Absolutely not. Do you help some of them? Yeah. Very many? Nope. You know why? Because I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Bible believer, okay? And when we start getting in the way because of supposed compassion, and really it's just disobedience to Scripture, we're frustrating the will of God. Now, look at verse number 8. I'm going to look at 4, 8, and 16, and then we'll fill in the gaps, okay? First of all, I want to talk about the family's responsibility again for just a minute. Look at verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, that to me is just mind-boggling. But the seriousness in which God looks at this, okay? He says, if you don't step up and take care of your parents, you don't step up and take care of family that's desolate and can't take care of themselves, God says, listen, it's the same thing as denying your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the Lord views it. Okay, so stop trying to wiggle out of it. I don't think you are, but if you are, stop trying to wiggle out of it, because God takes this thing serious. Family's supposed to help family. Support system's supposed to be within the family, okay? Who's supposed to take care of your aged parents? You are. You are. It's not the government's job. It's not the church's job. It's not Pastor Jerry's job. It's your job, okay? And that's my job would be the same for my parents and my wife's parents, okay? So if you don't do that, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. Now, an infidel's an atheist. Somebody denies the existence of God. Somebody that's involved in heathen worship. Okay, worshiping a false, that's serious stuff. I think America needs to hear this again. This whole idea of, well, you know what? Come on, young couples. Well, I got my bills and we want to live our lives and I ain't got time to take care. This is not my responsibility. Yes, it is your responsibility. Okay, and so That's what the Bible says. Now look down at verse number 16. Watch this. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. And what the Bible is saying here is, I think that God was using the scriptures here and Paul writing here to try to correct some things that was going on. See, some of the kids didn't want to take care of mom and dad, so they came, put the pressure on the church, said, you take care of them. God says, hey, family, you take care of your family, because there are going to be some widows that don't have family, and a woman that don't have children that can do it, and don't have children that are a husband that can take care of her. And that's the church's responsibility. Just let the church do what it's supposed to do, and families, you do what you're supposed to do. Now, is that what the Bible said? Okay, let's be Bible-believing Christians on this, okay? And so what the Bible says, you know, this whole idea of charity starts at home. Children and or other relatives are to requite. That means to exchange or return to their parents the care that their parents gave them when they couldn't care for themselves. And so that's good, solid Bible teaching there. Say, preacher, what is the church's responsibility? Is there a group of widows that the church would and should biblically assume responsibility for? Now, by the way, that's good. That means housing them. That means feeding them. That means taking care of them. That means paying, making sure that they're taken care of. Yeah, there are those situations, and we're going to see what those are. What is a widow indeed? Verse number 5. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate. Okay, so that doesn't mean that somebody whom the husband did buy the term life insurance policy for and has $250,000 in the bank because the old man croaked, and now she comes to the church and says, hey, you want to provide me housing and all of this because I'm a widow? No. Are you desolate? We're talking about the church properly evaluating or assessing the situation. This is a person that has no other means of support. They are completely desolate. They're completely in need. Now watch this. Then it goes on to say this. Trust and desolate, trusteth in God. Now I like this, because this lady's in a position not only where she doesn't have anything, but she says, comes to church and says, listen, I have nobody else to trust but the Lord. I have nobody else to trust in but the Lord. And if the Lord doesn't supply for me, I'm doomed. She's not going to the government looking for something, not going somewhere else looking for something. She's trusting in God to take care of her. And then the church recognizes this. And watch this. And continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Now watch this. I want to show you something. Say, preacher, if we had a widow that qualified as a widow indeed, and the church were to support her and provide her housing and a place to live, is there a return on this? There absolutely is a return on this. A widow indeed is willing to pay back the church, if you'll let me say this, by being a prayer warrior for the church. Being a prayer warrior for the church. I don't remember, maybe Sister Tina, you might remember the lady that Brother Hiles had it in the church that had the apartment. Was her last name to begin with a B, Bartley or something like that? You remember Cheryl? That lady's name. But First Baptist Church, when we were up there, is that right? Bartley? That's not quite right, is it? Yeah, Bartlett maybe. But there was a lady there that didn't have children, and her husband died, and she was on up in years, and I mean desolate. Didn't have anything, anybody to turn to. That was it. And Brother Hiles at the church, First Baptist Church, they made her an apartment there in the church building. And you know what she did? She was the prayer warrior for the church. She was a prayer and said, boy, I'd like the church to take care of me. That sounds like a good deal. You know, may I get the church to take care of me? Are you willing day and night to continue in supplication and prayer? You see, one of the reasons I don't think this situation comes up anymore is, number one, there's not too many people who are qualified. Number two, when they start doing it, I'm not sure they really want the life. We're going to see that. That word wax wanton tells you something. And so this is a life. Watch, a widow indeed is somebody who says, you know what, my husband passed away. I don't believe it's God's will for me to remarry. There's no sin against remarrying. But here's a lady that says, I don't think it's God's will for me to remarry. I'm desolate. I need help. I need to be sustained. I'm turning to my church. I'm turning to God. And that church then goes through the qualifications, sees this lady's qualified and says, you understand, we're going to take care of you. But what we need you to do in return is spend night and day being supplication and prayer for the preacher and for the staff and for the ministries and for the members of this church. This is how you pay us back. And she said, oh, what a blessing. What a thing to rejoice in that I get to full time now provide prayer support for my church, you know. And that's basically becomes her ministry in the church, for the church, is a ministry of supplication and prayer. And so that would be a widow indeed. So verse number 5. Now notice verse number 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, there's some ladies are going to say, I'm not going to live that type of life. I want you to take care of me and financially support me, but I want to go live in pleasure. Nah, sorry, I'm not going to do it. If you're not willing to live a holy life dedicated to prayer, then we're not under any obligation to support you so you can go out and live foot free and fancy. Okay? And then it goes on to say this, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. So the Bible, you know what's saying there? He's saying, give these things in charge. Make sure they understand this so that you can be blameless. In other words, lay all the cards on the tables. Make sure that they understand the qualifications, what's into this. And so that would be the first part of identifying and telling us what a widow is deep. Someone that trusts in God and someone who continues in supplication and prayer night and day. I had to laugh about that when I saw the night and day part. Those of you that are older, I'm talking about older than me. I'm talking about those of you that are in your 70s. You say, why would it say that she should pray day and night? Well, talk to any of our senior saints about how their sleep habits are, all right, and how difficult it is for them to get a sound, full night's sleep. You know, folks, they hurt. And, you know, they'll lay down for a while and sleep, and then Lord will wake them up, or they'll hurt and wake up for a while, and they get up for a while, and sometimes they sleep in a recliner, sometimes they sleep in the bed, sometimes they don't sleep at all. And I'm just telling you, it comes with that part of life. But God says, hey, I designed the body. And you know what? One of the things that I need from you and the world needs and your church needs and your preacher needs is somebody that at night time, when everybody else, most of the other world's asleep, somebody that's standing before the throne of grace praying when nobody else is praying. And so that part of the responsibility there. Verse number 9 says this, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years age. Hey, preacher, is there an age requirement for a widow indeed? Yeah, there is right there in the Bible. 80, that's 60 years of age. So somebody is 58. Would I be able to, as a pastor, lead the church to, now come on, would I be able to, as a pastor, scripturally lead the church to take upon the responsibility of them? He said, well, preacher, that's just 2 years. Why wouldn't we? Because when God puts a number down, he puts it down for a reason. Whether we understand it or not, you know what? We follow the scriptures. And so there's an age limit, having been the wife of one man. So there's this person had been married only once, okay? Next one, verse 10, well reported of good works. She has to have a life reputation for being involved in good works. And then it's got a colon after that and a list. So it's not just saying of good works, it's giving you the type of good works that she should have been involved in. A faithful mother, if she have brought up children. Hospitality, if she's lodged strangers. Humble service to others, if she's washed the saints' feet. Diligent in good works, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Caring for the sick. I mean, we're talking about a lady who has spent her life doing the things, these type of things, well reported of good works, a consistent person who has done for others, and watch this, that earns her the right for the church to do for her. Now, let me just say this. I want you to listen, think about this. What the Bible's telling us is this. Church, listen to me. This isn't just anybody in the church whose husband happens to pass away. Okay? And you know what? We all agree with that until it's somebody we're related to. Then all of a sudden, it's kind of like, well, why don't the church do something? Because the Bible has specific qualifications. Number one, your family's supposed to do it. Number two, if it's impossible for your family. I say impossible, and I don't think that exists much in America. Right, let me say it again. I don't think it exists much in America. You can if you will. Now, let me say something to the folks that are getting older, and remember where I'm at. I'm not that far from here, so I'm speaking to me and everybody else that's older than me. Also, if your family is willing to step up and help you, watch this. You have to also understand that you might have to make some life adjustments. Okay? I mean, you know what? You don't bankrupt your kids so you can maintain the level of living. I've watched older folks have to move in with family members. Well, I want to live by myself. I want them to pay my bills. Well, what can they do? You know, sometimes it's on this end where they don't want to do it. Sometimes on this end, no matter what they want to do, it's not enough. You understand, folks, that you know what? If a family is stepping up and sacrificing and trying to help, you may have to make some life adjustments. And so be willing to do that. Work, okay? I mean, I feel this way all the time. I wish I'd had the money to build a nice stick home for my parents, for Cheryl's parents to live beside us. But they're living in what the best we can provide. And you know what? They're gracious about it and thankful for it. And I don't know how many times they tell me, I wish we could do better. And you know what? It's what we can do. And they're gracious that we're doing it, and we're doing the best that we can do. And you know what? There might have to be in your older years. Come on, don't get old and cranky and grumpy and selfish. You got a family stepping up and trying to help. That means, you know what? Sometimes you have to make some adjustments. You know what? All of this is really kind of teaching us. It's preparing us this matter of humility. Okay? I mean, folks, listen to me. You know, I kind of kidded about Nathan, I think, years ago when him and Lauren started in that little teeny house. You know, it's not even really a house. It's a garage that somehow got turned into a house or something. And I said, you know, when you start with nothing as a young couple, and I'm not against this. I mean this. I want you to, I understand people working to better themselves, and you know, you're going to have children, you got to have a bigger house. And then now they put Levi and Christine in that house, you know. So I think every young couple, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, ought to have to live 1 year in that house there. They would appreciate everything else they ever get in their life if they would just do that. And but it's kind of funny because I think you start out with just basically a simple home with a roof over your head and your necessities, and then you work hard because you want, and that's fine, you know. But you know, when you get to the end of your life, honestly, and maybe it's just Jerry Ross, okay? But speaking for me, at the end of my life, if I've got a simple home and a roof over my head and four, you know, three squares, okay, you know what? What else could you want? Honestly, what? Now in between, I think we lose sight of that somewhere in between, and hopefully, but honestly, you know what? I think at the end of my life, if the Lord allows me and my wife to live in a decent place, okay, in a warm home and have the necessities of life, we ought to be content with that. All right? Okay? And so think about those things. The Bible warns, very interesting here. I want to go through this portion of Scripture. The widows indeed here. Now, the Bible says this, let not a widow be taken to the number under threescore. Well, why not? Because verse number 11 through 15 kind of does some warning. It says, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ. Now, watch this. What's that mean? Wax wanton against Christ. Okay, so you got somebody and they lose their husband and they're 52 years of age. And they come and they're desolate. And they come to church. And you're going to say, okay, we're going to go ahead and take you. I know the Scripture says not to, but we're going to take you. By the way, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to live in a little place here on the church property. And I'm going to need you to pray. And you're going to have a prayer ministry. And we'll take care of your needs. The Bible says after a while, they'll wax wanton against that. Now that word, let me see if I can find my notes here. But that word, that little phrase there, to wax wanton, let's see here, against Christ means to become luxurious, to desire to live deliciously. That's exactly what that means. You can do the same word study I do. And somebody that's more in that time frame, okay, they lose their husband early, they're in their 40s, they're in their 50s, and, well, I'm ready to be a widow indeed, and the church take care of me. And you know what? That's going to last just a little bit of time, and pretty soon they're like, I don't want to live out the rest of my life like this. And then they go to Christian Mingle, and they start looking around, and you know, figure out something else here, you know. I mean, come on, I'm 48. Do I really want to spend the rest of my life just praying? Come on now, you know. So I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says, okay? And so the Bible says that church, you're really not doing that person a favor because you're asking them to agree to something that probably they're not going to agree with and probably shouldn't agree with. What's the Bible suggest for them? The Bible says that it suggests to the younger widows that they marry. Because if they agree to live and be a widow indeed, and then they cast that off, the Bible says that they're going to have judgment or damnation come into their life. And so I think it's protecting the church, but ultimately it's protecting the younger widows. Because it's not, God says, I don't want you to put them in a situation that they agree to do something that they're really not ready in a time of life to long-term do. So don't put them in that situation, and don't put the church in that situation. And it says this, it says, if they're younger widows, you know what? And you put them in a situation where they basically don't have anything to do but pray, and they still have life, and they still have energy, and they still have, you know, they're not ready to, they're not of the age yet where they're just content to do those things, that they're going to get bored. So what will they do with all that free time if you make them a widow indeed early? Verse 13, with all they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things that they ought not. So instead of being a blessing to the church and praying for people, they're bored, they don't really have a life, and so they want to go around and get involved with everybody else's life, and they're not here at the church praying, they're going from house to house, and they're hanging out, and they're learning this, and they're talking this, and they're sharing this, and they're spreading this. And pretty soon, instead of being a blessing to a church, they became a detriment to the church. Why? Because the church didn't listen to the Bible and took somebody that was not in a time of life where that was going to work for them and tried to plug him into that. And guess what? It's not going to work. So you know what the Bible says? It goes on to say this, I will therefore the younger women marry. If you say, preacher, what would you say to a woman if they tragically lost their husband in their 30s or in their 40s and their 50s? I'd say go through a grieving period, go through a mourning period. But I would tell them, you need to stay open to the idea that God could bring somebody else into your life. That's what my biblical counsel would be. Now, maybe they won't remarry, but that's what I would tell them based on, I'd take them to these verses right here. And I'd say, if you're not careful, you're going to begin, listen, I'm going to say something, you can throw rocks at me all day if you want to. But God, listen, God didn't intend a woman very young to live by herself without a man to lead her and help her. And you get mad at me if you want to get mad at me. That's why I think that that little girl, when you brought her into your home, supposed to stay under her daddy's authority until the day he hands her off to another man's leadership and authority. And if that man dies and she's not of an age where she's of a spiritual maturity and track record to handle a prayer ministry and be taking care of the church, it's better for her to put herself back underneath the authority of a man and to remarry. I think that's what the Bible says. I think people that, gals that don't believe that and say, well, no, I can do it. I think what they end up doing is they learn to be idle. They learn to wander about house to house. They learn to be tattlers and busybodies. You say, why do you believe that? Because that's what I'm reading, right? It's right in front of me here. Why wouldn't I believe that? I will therefore that the younger women marry and have children. If you can still have children, have children. But I had children with my first. Have more children. Why? It keep you busy. You ain't going to have time to gossip. You ain't going to have time to be idle. You ain't got time to be a busybody. You're going to be a busybody, but it's going to be doing the things you ought to be doing. No, I mean that. That's what it says. Okay, isn't that what it says here? You know what? Having a lot of kids keep you ladies safely out of, come on, listen to me, safely out of being involved in sins that younger women are prone to get involved with. Okay, if I'm reading that right. Something about just, you know what? Have kids. Have kids. Amen. It'll keep you busy. All right. Guide the house. You have a bunch of kids, you're going to have plenty of work to do. I promise you. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to do a lot of guiding. Okay. Be guiding the house. Watch this. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after what? Huh. So here's a woman that's still at childbearing age and a widow, and she's lost her husband. And the Bible says, you be careful, because you know what? If you're not careful, you're going to end up marrying somebody, and his name's the devil. And he's going to live you, and you're going to be tormented by this desire to live luxuriously, to have things that you can't afford. And you're also going to be, if you're not careful, tempted to be involved in the sins that idleness produces. So get married. And if you can still have children, have them. And get busy raising your second family. I believe that. I believe that's what it says. And you know what? You'll be a blessing to the church. Now, if you're 60 and older, and that time of life comes to you, and you lose your husband, you're desolate. Number one, who's the first line of responsibility to care for this person? Who is it, church? All right, that means your family. It means my family, okay? I mean, it's our responsibility. And it's your responsibility. You're supposed to take charity begins at home. So work it out. Figure it out. You know what? You sacrifice. Yeah, but we can't. Okay, you can't. But it seems like to me that there was a time when your parents wished they could do a lot of things and go a lot of places and enjoy a lot of things. But they didn't. They had you. And you cost money. Lots of money and lots of time. And watch this. And when they were young and wanted to do, they didn't. They made sacrifices for you. Guess what? It's your turn. You requite, you repay back. And so what's the response to Satan's attempts to misdirect ladies from the will of God into a life that's detrimental to God, detrimental to the community, and detrimental to their church? Well, guard carefully the sweetness of your faith. Don't lose your first faith. Stay busy serving the Lord. Live on purpose for a purpose. Lose yourself in winning others to Christ, being a blessing to those who are saved. Study to be quiet. Don't get caught up in idle gossip whirling around. Guard against becoming a busybody. Learn to mind your own business. Don't involve yourself in other men's affairs. Have babies. Take care of the home. Have a good time. Raise kids. And do it to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, your blessing, please, upon the teaching of the Bible. And Lord, so many of these things in this culture and this upside-down world, this world controlled by humanism, such an anti-Bible philosophy. God, it's funny and sad, really, how much of the Bible just almost seems strange in the setting of this day and age. But Lord, the Bible's still true, and it still works. And boy, there's great blessing in just being obedient to it. So I pray, Lord, that you would bless, please, dear Lord, the teaching of the Bible. And Lord, may we make a commitment within our own hearts, dear God, concerning keeping our responsibilities, Lord. Lord, as whatever life would give us, whatever twists and turns, whatever unexpected things might happen, that we would be already convinced by the Scriptures of what our responsibilities are and where the lines are, what we are to do, what we are not to do. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name.